Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Dan Crawford from HammyEnd.com. This episode will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Barnsley on the road at Oakwell. Before that, we have a few topics which we will be discussing together in the Cottage Talk Roundtable. We have a ton to talk about in this episode, but before I do anything, I have to welcome Mr. Crawford back to the show. Dan, how you doing?
I'm very well, Russ. How are you?
I am great, my friend. It's great to have you back on the show.
Pleasure to be here, mate. Looking forward to it.
Okay, well, listen, let's get right into this. We'll be previewing the upcoming match against Barnsley in just a bit, but let's start with some topics for you and I to go through here in the Cottage Talk Roundtable. Let's start with this one. What are your thoughts on Fulham signing Southampton left-back Matt Target on loan? And what could this possibly mean for the roles of Ryan Sessegnon and Dennis Odoi with the club? Could their roles be changing a little bit, mattering on the opponent? So let's start off with your thoughts on the loan signing of Target and what it could mean for these two other players.
Well, I think, first of all, we signed a player in January and maybe a little bit earlier than we historically have done it recently. So that's always good. And it's obviously very difficult to judge how someone's going to fit into the Championship when they haven't played here before. But Target is a very highly rated defender. He likes to get forward. He's had international success at youth level with England, and he's played in a range of competitions for Southampton, including in Europe. So he's not going to be out of his depth. And you hinted at it, Russ, there in the way you phrased the question. So for want of a regular and consistent left-back at this level, Ryan Sessegnon started the season at left-back. I think we've all seen that, you know, while he adds quite a lot coming into the final third as a left-back, he's been more effective this season playing at left wing, which is something that wasn't the case last year.
Right.
I felt, Russ. I think this is something that's come this year. He's got to learn the position, and suddenly started scoring a lot of goals in forward positions. He always did that, but he's much more effective up there now. And, you know, Dennis Odoi is somebody who I think we were probably expecting to leave over the summer. There was a lot of talk about him wishing to return to Belgium. And then with Sessegnon starting at left-back and Fredericks at right-back, Odoi didn't really get a look in those two positions and became the sort of backup and for a little while first-choice centre-back. So his versatility is very good. It'll be interesting to see what Slavica does on Saturday, whether Target would have had a week training with Fulham, whether that's enough to pick him into a game. We'll wait and see. But you know, it was clear that they wanted to try and use Rafa Suarez as a left-back. That hasn't worked. He hasn't been fit enough to manage that. So this is, I think, a very exciting and encouraging signing. It's also pleasing that a promising Premier League player wants to come and play for Fulham. He seemed very enthusiastic in the interviews that I've seen. And it's a chance for him as well to play some regular football, because I think he's only played two league games this season. So it's a chance for him. It's a win-win for everybody. And hopefully he turns out to be a little bit better than the last left-back we borrowed from a Premier League side.
Well, let's hope he works out great there, Dan. And I'm glad that we're talking about Sessegnon, because now it gives Slavica the ability, if he wants to, obviously, to play him at left-back or play him further up the pitch where I think he should be playing more, but there could be matches where he would be a fit at left-back, but he gives him that opportunity. The one player that I'm glad that we're talking about as well is Odoi, because he has really played very well this season in several different roles. And you used the word that I think best describes Odoi, and that's versatility. He can also back up Ryan Fredericks at right back. So he can play several different roles for Fulham. So this might be a little bit hard on him because, again, Dan, he's been playing a lot more lately, and now he might have to have his role coming off the bench.
Yeah, maybe, but I think it's about the strength of the squad, because I think Fulham have a strong first 11 when they're all fit and out on the pitch. We haven't been as fortunate with injuries as we were last season. have a strong first 11, I think, that could beat anybody in the Championship on their day. What you don't have is when players start getting injured, the requisite backup and equivalent players of equivalent standards come in and do the job. So I think this adds to what I think you would say in American sport, Russ, the depth of a squad, you know, and that's really important because you've still got a large number of matches to go. The pitches will still be heavy. It's a very physical, exerting league, and people could get injured. And Adoy, you never know. You know, he's been starting at centre back for a little while. He may well do that again. He may well have the depth chart for Ryan Fredericks. And there may be times where Sessegnon is injured, and they have to do something different. So, I think it's exciting. And of course, if you train the best of the three, then you're probably in with a good chance of making that first team.
Great points there, Dan. And listen, I like Dennis Adoy for many reasons. He just does his job, and you keep talking about the ability to play several positions, which I think is great. I know they're different players, play different positions, but I look at him, Dan, similar to Chris Berardino, who could play several positions and was very valuable. And Dennis Adoy actually is more valuable than I think many fans think, Dan.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, sorry, Russ. I think somebody like Baird is a very good comparison because actually Adoy covered most of the positions that Baird can play and started off very well with the fans, where Baird certainly didn't have to work his way in.
Right.
I think Adoy is the sort of character who, you know, certainly very good in the dressing room. He's not going to be kicking the door down saying, oh, goodness me, you've signed a left-back. I'd be very surprised if he's doing that. And I think what this is about is giving Fulham a bit more strength in the squad, a few more options for Slavisa. And actually, we know sometimes that Slavisa is quite stubborn, so he might not use them all the time,
sure,
all these options that he's got. But it's about giving him more choice.
Yes.
In his selections, and we get to see a promising player, and hopefully, as you said, he kicks on, and we have a really good second half of the season.
Absolutely, there, Dan. All right, let's move on. Let's now talk about Slavisa's presser, which was yesterday. He actually mentioned in it that Chris Martin will not be coming back to Fulham. What do you make of this speculation that came from the Sunderland Echo the other day, linking him to Fulham?
I think it's 2 and 2 plus 5 for us.
Agreed.
I don't really think we need to say much more on this. I think we've talked about Chris Martin at length. We know what he can do, and there's an argument that if you had Chris Martin in this team this year, you know, we might have scored some more goals and we might be up there. But I think at some point Martin has to reflect within himself on the fact that he was so desperate to go back to Derby, and having tried to engineer that move whilst he was on loan to Fulham, he went back to Derby. He hasn't got near the Derby side, and now he's looking for another move. And I just think, you know, what I don't want to happen in the striking positions, Russ, is that because Kamara and Rui Font have started to hit form, and wasn't it good to see Rui Font
absolutely
do so well last week? Because they've started to hit form, it shouldn't mask the fact that we need at least another striker.
Totally agree.
Now, actually, is Martin that person? And how would he integrate into the dressing room, knowing what we know? And I think there would be better options out there. It's someone you might return to on transfer deadline day, funnily enough, if none of your other things come off. But unusually for Slavisa,
yep,
he was very categorical about this, which tends to tell me that he's not forgiven Chris Martin for his intransigence last season. I'm only sad that he didn't finish his sentence with "We are not a train station."
Dan, what's interesting about all this, and I'm glad that you talked about this, I'm in total agreement with you that Fulham need another striker. But I've also said this, that I want someone potentially that has the skill set that Chris Martin offers, the hold-up play and I want someone that I could do some the things that he could do. Dan, what are your thoughts about his skill set? Is that the type of striker you're looking for? Or would there be a different skill set that you're looking for from a potential striker that they need to bring in? They need to bring in a striker. So what are you looking for?
Well, the first thing I'm looking for is ability to put the ball in the net. It might sound obvious, but some of our strikers have struggled with that. It really depends how you're going to play, because if you're going to play on the break for the remainder of the season, then you're probably looking at somebody with pace. But you certainly right. need some physical attributes and some strength as well. And I think it comes down to what's out there in the market, not sort of what's your ideal option here. Because you'd also have to have somebody who would have to be happy to not play every game.
Great point.
Slavisa has been quite clear that he's looking at rotating Font and Kamara based on the opposition that we face.
Okay, Dan, let's move on. And Slavisa also mentioned at his presser that Tom Kearney should be available for the Barnsley match, which is great news. Thoughts on the continued injury situation, though, with Kearney? What do you make of all this, and do you think this is going to be something that we're going to have to follow for the rest of the season?
Possibly. It was actually interesting. I think before the Ipswich game, he went down in the warm-up. And there was a worrying sort of 10 minutes where he was lying on the floor getting some treatment, and you weren't quite sure whether he was going to be able to play. And then he did. But subsequent to that, he was rested for the cup game and has struggled really to make his way back in. But I thought he was very good. I don't know on your opinion on this. I thought he was very good in that half an hour last weekend against Burton.
I agree.
So I think he's closer to where he needs to be. But we've just got to be careful. There's no point rushing him back and losing him for a little while. You know, there's clearly something, if it hasn't quite healed, it's certainly vulnerable a little bit, or tender, shall we say, that knee. And you can see that teams are targeting him with heavy tackles very clearly. So we have to deal with that. But I'm also encouraged that in the time that he's been out of the team, it hasn't been as dramatically obvious as it was earlier in the season.
It's a great point, Dan.
Tom Kearney, you know, early at the very start of the season, we didn't have any dynamism in the midfield. We ground out a few results without him. We're clearly a better side with him in it, but I don't think it's so. The difference is so marked that you need to rush him back half fit to play games. And I think Fulham recognise that. You know, Kearney's so important. He can miss the odd game here and there. He shouldn't, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where, because you're so desperate to have him in your side, he then misses 10 in a row, you know, and then can't play any part in the running. It's just about the player, as much as anybody will know, when he's ready. And they've got a very good fitness staff, Ali Harris, Marco Cesarini, and the like, who analyse all this stuff. And, you know, hopefully he'll be available for tomorrow. Jokanović was about as strong on that as I've heard him for a while. It's normally we will assess Tom Kearney,
right?
And this was a little more promising.
Absolutely, Dan. It's hopefully he will be playing starting against Barnsley, but I will take 30 minutes of him if he came off the bench, just like he did against Burton as well. And I think that they will manage him, unfortunately, the rest of the season, whatever's going on there with his injury. They're just going to have to work around it. But what's interesting about all this, and I'm glad that you said this, Dan, and I don't think enough has been being talked about this as well. Winning without Tom Kearney, playing well without Tom Kearney is huge. And that's going to get me to transition to talk about a player that I think has had a nice role in this season so far, and that's Oliver Norwood. And speculation is that Fulham are trying to sign him permanently, but they had a bid rejected from Brighton & Hove Albion. What are your thoughts about Fulham trying to get Norwood on a permanent deal here, Dan? Your thoughts?
There's two things at play here. One, Norwood's been excellent in central midfield. He has some of his detractors, I know because one of them sits in front of me. But he also has people who praise him lavishly, including a former guest on this podcast. Hello, Lydia. But look, there's two things at play here. He's been excellent as an understudy to Kearney. He takes a good dead ball. We've found someone who can take a penalty, which can't be sniffed at. But those aren't just the reasons why they'd like to hold on to him. Also, by signing him on a permanent deal and nullifying the loan arrangement that they have currently with Brighton, Fulham would be able to include another loanee in the matchday squad.
Right.
You can have five domestic loan players in your matchday 18. And that hints to me that they might be close to agreeing a loan deal or considering a loan deal for somebody else. Interestingly, Brighton rejected the bid, but Chris Hughton didn't. In some quotes I've seen today, Russ, Chris Hughton not exactly slamming the door totally on Norwood.
I saw that, Dan. I'm glad that you brought that up. Go ahead.
Yeah, not much more to say. I mean, I think he's clearly a player of immense quality at this level. He's a very good international player. He's enjoying his football, and he's enjoying it at Fulham. So, you know, I've always been a big fan of Ollie, because he can do two or three things. He can take the ball forward. He can hold on to the ball when you want. He's got a very good range of passing. So he's a good fit to be that sort of fourth man in the three-man midfield. And such has been his form that you may even have the argument now that he's worth putting in there ahead of somebody else, you know. So that's all very encouraging, but I think we just have to wait and see. Maybe his value will be less in the summertime, especially if Brighton and ourselves swap places, but there's a bit of work to be done before that.
Absolutely, Dan. Very good point on Oliver Norwood. And for me, I think he's done a very nice job performing. I'm certainly not against them signing him permanently. And it's a great point by you that part of this could be that they want to use that spot, his loan spot, for someone else. So they want to sign him permanently. They like him and they want him permanently. But we're just going to have to wait and see how this all plays out. But a very interesting situation with Oliver Norwood. But it tells me that Fulham definitely want him permanently. And I think that would be a good thing for the club. All right, Dan, let's now move on. Let's preview this upcoming match against Barnsley at Oakwell. And let's start here. I've got some information from WhoScored.com just to get us going, just to talk a little bit about the clubs, where they are in the division, and then also just some characteristics of Barnsley. Let's start where both teams are in the league table. Fulham are currently seventh with 12 victories, 9 draws, 11 losses. Fulham have scored 46. They've given up 34 on a plus 12 goal differential, which is good, and are on 45 points. Barnsley are 19th with 6 victories, 9 draws, 13 losses. They've scored 28, but they've given up 40. They're on a minus 12 goal differential and are on 27 points. And this is what WhoScored.com says about Barnsley. Characteristics, strengths: strong at creating scoring chances, stealing the ball from the opposition. They put down for weaknesses: keeping possession of the ball, finishing scoring chances, defending against attacks down the wings, and has them very weak at defending against long shots and defending against skillful players. Style play: play with width, take long shots, long balls, attempt crosses often, attacking down the right, take a lot of shots. They rotate their first 11 and they're non-aggressive. All right, Dan, before I get your thoughts on this match and on Barnsley, I just want to mention I watched a good amount of video and a couple things stood out for me. And also I watched back our match earlier that we played at Craven Cottage, and there are a good amount of crosses in the box. They are good when I watch video on set pieces. That's a little bit of a concern. I believe they scored 2 goals recently on corners. So that's something that we need to be a little bit worried about. But that's just to give you a little information on Barnsley ahead of this match. Dan, what are your thoughts about them? Opening thoughts on Barnsley?
In a way, Russ, I'm surprised they're as low as they are in the table. They've obviously had a really tough run. I think it's 1 win in 13. Now, for them, Russ. So you know, Fulham are visiting at the right time. Of course, we like to help out sides who are struggling away from home. We've done that. In fact, I feel like this is an omen because I think we did that the last time I was on this podcast.
Against Sunderland.
Yes, indeed. I remember that day vividly, and not for good reasons. Barnsley, look, it's a wonderful trip to Barnsley. It's a great away day. Arguably one of the best in the league. They are a bit of a footballing success story in that they don't have a massive budget. They've been kept afloat by a local businessman, Patrick Crine, who ploughed a lot of money into his hometown club, entrusted a young manager in Paul Heckenbottom who had a playing history at Barnsley to take over the team. And did something very similar to what I imagine Tony Khan's endgame is at Fulham in terms of developing young players. And in Barnsley's case, selling an awful lot of their best performers for significant profit and then investing that profit back into the side and back into the development. Unfortunately, Patrick Crine developed a terminal cancer and died only this week.
That's right. Having, very sad.
Having, it's very, very sad. And having sold on the club to a consortium that features a couple of people whom American sports followers might be very familiar with, Russ. So, look, they're having a difficult time because they often say that the sort of second or third season in the league is tougher. They've lost a few players. They've struggled with injuries, but they play football in the right way. They like to pass the ball. They are very good on set plays. I think they scored at Aston Villa on Saturday from a sort of second phase of a set play. And we've seen already that crosses into the box against Barnsley can be dangerous. And they've got some very good purveyors of chances and people who can gobble them up. So we had a very interesting game there last year where we could very easily have lost that game, especially the manner in which we started it.
Yeah, we got behind then, I remember.
That's right. And I think you're going to have to be on your game. You're going to have to be ready for what we haven't been ready for previously from sides, very similar to the Hull game. Barnsley will see this as an opportunity to get some points. They'll be up for it, given the sad events of this week. There'll be a big crowd wanting to pay tribute to their former chairman. And it could be the turning point for their season. It's not going to be easy for them.
I totally agree, Dan. And like I mentioned, I watch a good amount of video, and I actually watched a YouTube video from Tykes TV just to get a little bit more information on Barnsley. And, you know, again, these fans of this YouTube channel, you know, one fan specifically sees this as a really good opportunity for Barnsley to win. And it's an important match for them. I'm glad that you mentioned that. And they're going to be difficult. This is not going to be an easy match. None of these matches in the championship are. But this is a side that I actually respect, Dan, partially because of what happened there last year. It was difficult. And also has to do with the manager, Paul Heckenbaum. Let's talk a little bit about him, because I do respect the way that he puts his side out. They play hard, and they play for him. What are your thoughts about Heckenbaum as a manager?
Freshman young manager, he's managed one of the clubs that he loves. He got them promoted, and he's shown great realism in terms of how to knit together a side without going away from the sort of principles that he adheres to. It would have been very easy to say, right, the easiest thing to do is buy a big target man and pump the ball up to him, and you know, be cynical and physical and make ourselves difficult to beat and scrap enough results. But no, Barnsley play it in the right way. We saw that in the game at Craven Cottage. you know, gradually their fullbacks, their wingbacks, got forward to cause some real problems. They've got some excellent players.
They do.
And they play for a manager who's clearly very passionate. That don't allow that passion to mask a, or to deflect from what is a, you know, promising tactical brain. You know, we've seen managers outwit Jokanović in this division, and it was a real bone of contention amongst the fan base earlier on in the season. And we just have to guard against that, because I think Heckenbottom is somebody who doesn't get talked about as one of the division's leading managers. But given how well he's taken to Barnsley at this level and made them more than competitive.
Absolutely, Dan.
In this division with a small wage budget and also having lost most of their key players. You look at the names of players who've left the club.
Sam Winnell.
Phenomenal achievement. Sam Winnell, yeah. We know about Conor Hourihan, Josh Gowan, yeah. You know, there's plenty more. And, you know, Barnsley, should, you know, I would be quite confident in saying, I think as I did when we were talking about Sunderland, Ross, I don't think they're going to be in any danger of going down once they organise themselves and ready themselves for the second half of the season. Now, the other thing that comes to the table is, in future years, if the new consortium backs the manager with significant money, which they've said they will look to do, then they could be a contender at the top end of the table.
Absolutely.
You know? So we and players will be playing for their spots now, you know, knowing that new owners are looking and they're looking to back the manager. So it could be a very interesting afternoon.
Absolutely, Dan. And let's talk a little bit more about them. You said that they have talented players. They do. So what players concern you most from Barnsley? Is it in their defense, midfield, up front? Where are you concerned for Fulham tomorrow?
I'll pick out a couple of players. So they've got a centre half called Liam Lindsay, who's excellent, very good on the ball, great positioning and reader of the game. Somebody who, once again, isn't especially highly heralded, but I think you could see him make great strides over the next few years. Andy Adam, the right wing back who put in the cross for the goal at Craven Cottage. He can play right or left side, actually. He's a very aggressive and attacking fullback who can also play as a winger. And then you've got a couple more in the forward areas. Adam Hamill, who has been one of the most consistent wide players in the Football League for a little while, once of Liverpool, and just a live wire with an ability to go past people with a trick and an opportunity to cross. And then you've got Tom Bradshaw, who obviously
scored the goal against us.
Scored the header at the Cottage before Christmas, but you know, has been a prolific scorer in the English leagues for a while. Very unlucky to miss out on the Welsh squad for Euro 2016. Very unlucky in that instant, given everything that squad went on to achieve. But he's a really good player, and he's. He doesn't seem overly physical. He's not built in a manner that would suggest to you that centre-halves are going to be in a physical battle, but he can play up front on his own. And that's a testament to his sort of desire and fighting qualities. Much like, say, Brian McBride, Russ, who you wouldn't pick out as a dominant forward in the air, but because of his desire, his ability, his attention to detail and hard work on the training ground, you know, it came right for him, and those were qualities that he could add to his game. Bradshaw will give, I assume it will be Ream and Callas, will give them a real run for their money again tomorrow.
I agree, Dan, and he's a player that I'm a little bit concerned about. And so I'm glad that you've talked about these players, because these are three players that stood out for me when Fulham played against Barnsley before. So these are players to look out for. All right, Dan, let's now focus on Fulham. Who are your key players for Fulham in this match against Barnsley, knowing how they're going to play and how difficult it's going to be? Who needs to step up here?
Well, I think we've, in a way, we had an interesting game last week, because we went at it from the off. We played at a high tempo, and it became clear after we scored a couple of goals that Burton couldn't live with the intensity and quality of the football that we were playing. So you almost had it was difficult to judge the quality of the performance, given how easy it appeared at times. What I would say is, more so than the players, Fulham need to replicate that start. You know, they need to go there and put the opposition on the back foot. Ryan Fredericks said something very similar today about the need to keep going on the front foot and try and get in front and hold on. Now, I would say you're looking at the defence primarily.
Okay.
And it will be, excuse me, it will be interesting to see how that defence lines up. But I imagine it would be something like Fredericks, Callas, Ream and Target, you know. And I'd be looking at those two centre-backs. Tim Ream's been outstanding this season. Unfortunately, what that means is people expect it from him every week, that high level of performance. Callas has been a little below the level that we saw from him last season. But if we can start grinding out some more results and extend this little run that's got us right back into the cusp of playoff contention, then we could be in for a very interesting close to the season. And I would say, primarily, I'll be looking for no silly mistakes, nothing easy for Barnsley, because the last time we went there, Russ, we made it very easy for Barnsley to score goals. And
right, I remember,
You know, we don't need to do that again.
I totally agree, Dan. Before we move on, because we're talking about key players, I want to ask you your thoughts on this player. I believe I've talked to you about him before. I'm convinced that we missed him, and that's Lucas Piazon comes back. And I thought he had a definitive impact in this match against Burton Albion. Talk about what you've seen from him since he's come back.
I think it's what we've seen from him since he's come back is that sort of hunger, desire, as well as a little spark of creativity. He can make things happen. He's an intelligent footballer. He's looking at the runs of other players. He's trying to influence proceedings when he doesn't have the ball. And he comes alive in that final third. And I felt against Barnsley, it's very interesting. He played on the right, nominally, which we haven't seen that much of him there for a while. And he was drifting inside almost to play as a number 10 behind Ruth, on allowing that fluidity to come in to proceedings and giving Fredericks the room to go and exploit that space that was then directly in front of him.
Right.
Now, Piazon's got the ability to make goals as well as score them. We saw how he latched onto that pass from Norwood and made the first goal very simple for Font. He then scored a terrific second goal. And I'm just glad because, yeah, like you, Russell, I think we're both convinced that had Piazon been fully fit, then this might have been a very different season, especially with Kearney being out, with those two being out.
Oh, I agree.
You know, losing both of those two players, because Piazon can play in that forward role that Kearney...
Absolutely.
Sometimes for us. And not to have either of them is a massive blow.
It's a great point, Dan. And I think it's underrated, his value. That's why I wanted to talk a little bit about Piazon, because I've noticed it. And I'm glad that he's back. And he obviously has this passion when he plays. And it's apparent to me that he loves being a Fulham, and that just adds to it. But it's his skill that we can use as well. And he's showing it. And that's why I think he's a player that can really help us the rest of the season. So I just wanted to mention him in this match because I think he could play a role as well. All right, Dan, let's go to your starting 11. Not what Savise is going to do. What would you do against Barnsley?
Okay, so I'd go Bettinelli in goal, Fredericks, Callas, Ream and Target, as I think I've said before, then McDonald, probably Norwood and Kearney, because I'm not sure that Johansson is quite there. And then Sessegnon, Piazon and Font, probably, because I don't see how you can drop the guy who had such a terrific game last week, you know. It's all predicated on the proviso that those players are fully fit, of course, but we shall see. That's what I'd go for.
Okay, excellent, Dan. All right, let's go to predictions. Before I get your prediction for this match, I'm going to share the predictions from the Fulham supporters on the Cottage Talk Twitter poll I did. I had 149 votes, Dan. Win was at 75%, draw was at 17%, and loss was at 8%. So it's pretty significant that the Fulham supporters are confident for this match. But like we're talking about, Dan, this is an opponent that we should be respecting that needs the points. So it's certainly not going to be easy. All right, Dan, your turn. Your prediction for this match.
I'm going for a 2-0 win for them.
Wow. I like that, Dan. 2-0. Fantastic. Okay. Well, it's time for my prediction, and I'm going to go for my usual prediction. Dan, I tend to go for this prediction. I just like this prediction for whatever reason. I like Fulham to score a decent amount of goals, and they usually give up a goal. So I'm going to say Fulham are going to win this, Dan, 3-1. And that's just my thoughts on it, and we'll see who are the goal scorers. But I have a decent feeling about this, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be difficult. But I still think Fulham will find a way to get this victory, and with it being somewhere around 3-1. All right. Great show, Dan. Thank you so much for joining me, my friend.
My pleasure, Ross. Thanks for having me.
Okay, before we go, just tell everyone a little bit about what you've been writing lately. You've been running a great deal on hamian.com. Let's talk a little bit about that before we go.
Yeah, what did you want to – was there something you wanted to hone in on? I don't know. We've done plenty of match reports and stuff like that, and a few other articles. I think the strength of the site is that people put forward their opinions, and it gives people something to discuss.
Well, I was actually thinking about your most recent when you were talking about Slavica saying Jokanović says Fulham can't relax, and that's talking about.
Yes, I think that is some quotes. Some additional quotes from the broadcast and written sections of his press conference. And look, the thing you like about Slavica is he is a perfectionist. He's one of those football managers, I think, who can't quite understand why the players he's got aren't as good as he was. That might be unfair, but he was a very good player. We came across something the other day that we put on our Twitter feed of Slavica scoring a hat-trick for Tenerife against Barcelona. And I don't know if you've seen this, Russ.
I didn't see that.
Oh, right. I will have to go and dig it out. Two goals in it's a first half hat-trick, and two goals were penalties. Right? One with the right foot, one with the left foot, to opposite sides of the goal, so the goalkeeper didn't guess where they were going to go. But getting back to the point, Slavica is somebody who wants his team to hit the mark every time, and if you don't, he's going to be upset with you. And it was clear that, you know, he was trying to get the message across, not just to the players, but to the fans and to the media, that yes, we beat Burton 6-0, that was good, but I've forgotten about that now. That was so long ago.
That's right.
Now I'm focused on Barnsley, and if my players aren't focused on Barnsley and they think it's going to be easy, then they're going to get a shock. He's a refreshing guy because he's a very demanding coach. You know, he wants his players to play in a certain fashion and he wants them to do it just right. And, you know, it's very interesting. A lot of players say they like playing for him. They like playing in this style because it gives them the freedom to express themselves.
But it's demanding.
Well, it is, but you know, and the jury is probably still out on whether you can get promoted from the championship playing this way anymore, being so possession based and adventurous in your football. For our sake and for Slavisa's sake, I hope you can answer that question in the affirmative by the end of the season.
I hope so too, Dan. Very interesting. And please do check out Dan's articles and the other writers on hamian.com. You've got a great stable of writers, so I definitely recommend everyone going to hamian.com. I'm sure you already do, but I just want to mention that to end the show. All right, Dan, great show, but it is time to go. For Dan Crawford, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.